Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Hello and welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm your host, Sierra, the Barefoot Girl, joined by my co-host, John Schlier of Flip Top Barefoot. How are you guys today?
Doing well. How are you doing, Sierra?
Super great. So in case you guys hear some background noise, like geese or dogs or people fishing, I'm on location at Hermitage Park in Edmonton. And yeah, barefoot fishing and kayaking and lots of geese swimming around. So lots of fun. So, John's in the studio hosting. Any technical issues, I'm going to go ahead and blame on him. Just kidding. We love you, John.
I'm good at technical issues.
Most of them are just because the studio is so freaking glitchy.
It can be glitchy, that's for sure. We have Chris on hold. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on and see how he's doing today.
Very, very well. Very, very well. Thank you.
Good. So, where are you calling from, Chris?
Well, I am near Las Vegas, Nevada.
Great.
Well, great to have you on the show.
I'm very curious. Your name of your show is so very close to a site that I have loved, admired, and appreciated and learned from for many, many years, barefootsworld.net. Bob Barefoot, I think, was the originator that it was patterned after, but I think his son actually runs the site, which could be a lawyer or attorney.
Well, we're not affiliated with them, but there's so many barefoot groups out there now. I mean, there are thousands of barefooters all over the world that are starting their own little groups and websites. I've got my own website. There's barefootislegal.org, Society for Barefoot Living, barefooters.org. There's so many of them. So I mean, that's great that you're able to find out about another group that we didn't know about.
Well, I'm very studied in law myself, self-studied, not perverted by the de-education or propaganda indoctrination of the centralized public school system's version of education. And so maybe I can add something materially relative to the conversation that might benefit either you, or maybe I'll learn from everybody as opposed to contributing also.
Yeah, that would be great. Any insights you might have. I do have a question for you, kind of put you on the spot here. Lots of businesses turn customers that are barefoot away, saying it's a liability to them because if the customer got hurt while barefoot in the store, they could sue them. We've talked a lot in previous episodes about contributory negligence, where if you're barefoot and you get hurt, no judge is going to let that go through because it's your own fault you were hurt because you weren't wearing shoes. What's your legal standpoint on this?
Well, my perspective was each case has to be independently examined on its own merits in totality of circumstances, that is, as opposed to circumscribing any prescriptive edict to eliminate all cases merely because somebody chooses to exercise their own private right to either put shoes on or not put shoes on, especially relating to the concepts that are involved in the concept described as earthing, which effectively is establishing a earth-grounded contact between the body to maintain its proper electrical orientation and balance.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I think that's interesting you say case-by-case basis that they need to be looked at, because a lot of legal people that we've had on the show have said most judges would just throw all of those types of cases out. But there have been successful lawsuits against people who have been barefoot in locker rooms, in apartment buildings, and become injured. And they have successfully sued. So what do you think would it take for a case of barefoot injury to go to court and successfully win?
Well, you'd have to provide a LexisNexis, a legal connection, that could relate back to direct connection to the location and some duty provided lack of competence to provide what would be reasonable, normal, and expected, which contributed to the experience of the injury or perhaps harm. Could be a viral infection, bacteriological infection, or maybe just a mere cut, or perhaps something was left there and they slipped on it. The famous banana peel in the store is, or fruits and so on and so forth, is a frequent cause of these failure to duty of care claims that come up frequently in my estimation. It's not really my forte, but I am generally aware of what it takes to make a claim for damages on failure to provide due diligent care.
Can you think of any examples of when this sort of situation might actually, if someone is a habitual barefooter, you know, they live 100% barefoot, thick, leathery soles from all of the strengthening of walking barefoot. Can you think of maybe a situation where they could be injured in a store and where it would be the store's fault?
Well, a frequent contributory negligence element is the escalators, which are stair elevators, in fact. I do have a first-party competent experience with one particular, it wasn't related to barefoot exactly, but we were in a Home Depot store, and we were looking for products on building on a project, and my sweetheart was with me, and she felt something looked curious, and she reached up and she touched the display, and the pipes, they were fairly 2-inch or so plastic pipes, came tumbling down and actually damaged her finger. And so that was a product liability. Home Depot did take care immediately of the care, and fortunately she suffered no long-term injuries from the effects, so but they did pick up the bill without question. So that was a good thing.
Well, that is an interesting situation to think of, where maybe a display does fall over. Why do you think places single out being barefoot as a risk for being injured as opposed to flip-flops and high heels and things like that?
Well, remembering our negative legal system where they can make a claim and try to avert responsibility under any pretense that they can muster up to be articulable and possible, they can allege anything, but unless you have a competency to object to their unfounded, unsubstantiated observations, insinuations, or theories, then they stand as true fact in law and evidence unless rebutted.
John, did you have any additional questions for Chris?
I've been listening along and thinking about it. In our last show, we discussed, you know, what if, you know, somebody was barefoot and was denied entrance into a store unless they had shoes on. So they went and put shoes on and then went in the store and injured themselves. And then their feet thought because they were wearing a shoe, it was not as safe as when they were barefoot. Does that add liability to the store?
Certainly would. At least it would be objectively plausible. You know, it's very curious. This is a very interesting line of question to bring up. We used to have something called Cheap Charlie Soul Suckers, which were effectively an adhesive applied sole to the natural skin of the foot, as opposed to a flip-flop. or a sandal, if you will. But there is a dim line of delineation as to what actually constitutes a shoe or footwear, some would observe, that may have relation. And in fact, if we were meant to have shoes, wouldn't we have come out of the womb with them?
You could arguably say that about clothes as well, right. But I kind of prefer my company to have clothes on.
Well, there are places that find that to be a curiously controversial issue, too, I've heard.
Oh, yes. There's a big nudist colony in Ontario that I know about that, yeah, they don't agree with my idea that clothes are good, but... I mean, that's their right and their freedom to do that if they want. I think it is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Most nudists still wear shoes. I find that hilarious.
Well, it does raise some interesting questions surrounding the recent Homosexual Marriage Act, King v. Burwell decision that the Supreme Court just put out, where basically they reiterate the historically international law of nations concept that we all have the right to self-determine our own political, geographic, or perhaps spiritual, or even cult orientations, and we can choose whether we want to be one sex, the other sex, multi-sex, or asexual, I guess it would be the conclusion of natural construction. But it really does bring up some very curious implications since we have a political activist Supreme Court as opposed to one that actually determines on facts, law, and evidence objectively as opposed to subjective interpretations, which are used to pervert it to the judge's own private and personal interest, his view of the world, if you will, as opposed to the true facts that are alleged in the case.
I don't really know how to follow up with that. John, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I will suggest there's a very interesting treatise on that by Henry S. Noyes, or Noyes, N-O-Y-E-S, from Villanova Law, Professor Emeritus there, called The Rise of the Common Law Pleading Standard, Iqbal and Twombly. And it talks about this specific concept for the are now 485 or whatever number of district courts there are in the U.S. and the territories, that each one can use their own subjective interpretations of what the law is, creating a veritable patchwork of different laws in each district court jurisdiction based upon the judge's own perversions of his versions of what the law should be as opposed to what it actually is.
I know this might be a little off topic, but do you think some of those perversions are done more unknowingly, out of that's just what their opinion is and they're trying to do a good job? Or do you think people are really trying to push their own agenda there?
Well, yes, they're actually legislating from the bench. In fact, John Paul Robert, or John George, John G. Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who was involved in patenting the health scam after he was apparently visited ex parte in his private residence by Obama prior to concluding that this taxing scheme of health scam was legal. And so therefore, he has denounced from the bench or espoused from the bench his theory that the judges should abandon their neutral, independent gatekeeper role, he terms being an umpire on the bench, and get down off the bench and either pitch or hit in the game and take a participatory role in the prosecution or the defense as it suits the economic interest or other beneficial interests of the legal trade. And in fact, I've been victimized by that very scam recently, and I had to motion for reconsideration and to recuse a judge on a Rule 60B abuse of discretion claim. In fact, whenever they leave the bench in their neutral, independent gatekeeper function of assuring that both parties have due process and substantial justice provided, they then give off any pretensive airs of immunity and become independently liable and culpable and suitable as private individuals under acting as a assistance of co-counsel for either the defense or the prosecution or the complainant, as the case may be, irrespective of what the actual action is, because then the party that's coming against that they take the side of is victimized by being tag teamed with the court masquerading as a judge, then assuming the position of a co-counsel and leaving his judicial responsibilities behind, likely double dipping, having a fiduciary vested interest in the action, and therefore conflicted, he should have sua sponte on his own and accused himself.
Very interesting points. John, did you have any follow-up questions?
I apologize. I had a little technical problem there. Going back to, you had mentioned earlier the barefoot world. What is your tie into going barefoot?
Well, barefoot's world really didn't have a tie into it necessarily. It's not my side. I merely know of it and highly respect it. Uh-oh, I've lost your audio for some reason.
Did you?
Yeah, can you guys still hear me?
Now we do.
Sorry about that. Lots of background noise out here.
That's okay. What I was saying is that it doesn't really have any particular direction relation to the concept of going barefoot, but I think it has to do with the concept of back when we were all kind of barefoot young people and walking around with a piece of straw in our mouth being hayseeds and enjoying life and nature and communing directly therewith and having in contact with our grounded earth, therefore having a direct relationship as spirits with the created spirit of the earth that the Creator actually manufactured for all of us to be good stewards over and take a participatory role in maintaining it in the best possible condition so it can completely sustain life for all of us throughout ever, as opposed to abusing it and using it for our own fiduciary interest or other interests perhaps, sometimes for militant or military interests.
I think that's really interesting that you brought up that we all went barefoot as kids running around with a straw in our mouth. We have a new article that was published recently about the connection between going barefoot as children and kind of transitioning into going back to being barefoot as an adult. John, do you want to pull up that article and discuss it? And Chris, we're just going to put you on mute for a minute while we discuss that article.
Where
okay?
is that article at?
Give me just a sec.
All right, one moment. So is this the Memories of Barefoot Summers are inspiring me to go shoeless once more? Okay.
Yeah, it's from theglobeandmail.com.
Yep, got it. And that was J.E. Hewitt. Contributing to the Globe and Mail, says, when I was a kid, the long months of summer stretched by without the need for shoes. We would peel them off the last day of school and cast them into the closet. All summer long, we would run around in bare feet on springy grass through pillows of garden dirt, over sharp sticks in the bush, even across nubby gravel roads or down the melting asphalt of the highway. We'd slide across slippery rocks in the creek, climb trees by gripping like monkeys with our toes. Our feet became shoes themselves, hardened and able to resist all kinds of punctures short of stepping on something. In late spring, when a thick layer of new gravel had smoothed the bumps on the frost-heaved roads, we would take off our shoes and deliberately walk across over and over the sharp stones, biting our winter-softened soles. We were toughening up our feet for the summer. The first person to cross without flinching was the winner. I won a lot. I love going barefoot. The worst part of going back to school for me was forcing my feet back into shoes. I was teased for wearing moccasins in September because putting on shoes again felt like punishment. And then it says, note, it is hard to play soccer in moccasins. Shoes felt alien, stiff, and clunky. Walking in them felt unbalanced, teeterly, and if my feet had grown roots, now severed. I remember feeling strange about going barefoot once in a while when during a fierce game of hide-and-go-seek, I was slapping along the hard, packed dirt path and ran into the bar and stepped on a baby toad. My foot squished him flat. When I looked over my shoulder, I saw his flat tongue protruding from his mouth like a cartoon character under a rock. I had a moment of squeamishness, a new sensation. I made it home safely before I sat down and took a look at my foot. The bottom was so dirty, it was hard to make out the stain the toad had left behind. I started to scrub my feet with a brush in the bath at night, but the dirt had penetrated like dye, impossible to wash off. I think that was the beginning of my 20s. I had become aware that my feet didn't look very good in sandals, so before a trip to the beach, I went for my first pedicure. I remember a girl who got saddled with a job. I bet she remembers too. This was back when they were still allowed to wield, you know, what amounted to a vegetable peeler. Came across years of hard-worn calluses. No more gravel roads for me. I left with tingling baby skin and her advice, don't go barefoot ever again. I'm not sure if it was the humiliation, vanity, or a bout with plantar fasciitis which caused it, but over the years, I slipped out of the practice of going barefoot, and somehow it stuck. I gradually became precious about my feet. I never go barefoot, even in a house. Slippers sit beside my bed, the first thing my feet touch. I am so scared of athlete's foot that I won't take off my socks in exercise class, even when the instructor points out that I would have better grip with bare skin. When asked to remove my shoes at the airport, I'm not happy. I bring socks, but once I forgot them and had to walk barefoot through the scanner. My feet shriveling up against the grit and sweat left behind by every other traveler. We were late for our connection, but I begged my husband to wait while I got back in my shoes. When I told a friend this story, expecting sympathy, she rolled her eyes and said that in his place, she would have run hoping the plane would take off without me. I have to admit, I have a thing about my feet. I scrub my skin and shiny toes. My feet are polished and perfect, eternally ready for inspection, like your best underwear in case of an accident. Though rarely intentionally on view, I am not sure what changed, but I've begun to realize it's odd. Where is that barefoot girl? Maybe it was the long winter, but this summer, the green of the lawns looked particularly inviting. I've been thinking about what I'm missing. I miss the feeling of grass, that cool, feathery tickly on the arches. I miss sinking right up to my ankles in sun-warmed moist dirt, my feet being hugged by the earth. I miss the way, as kids, we used to climb a certain waterfall by grabbing the slimy strands of algae with our strong toes. I miss wrapping my feet around the branches of a tree and flexing the bones out in a fan, balancing while I reach for the next one, in a way that shoes just don't allow. This summer, I vow to take my feet out for some fun. I'm going to walk along our dandelion-filled yard and not worry about staining my heels. I'm going to see what dirt feels like again. In my tomato patch and on the hot pavement, too, on our sidewalk. I'm going to wade into the river nearby, not the water shoes, but barefoot. Regardless of goose poop and crab shells whitening on the rocks, I'm going to climb a tree and let the bark dig into my two soft soles. This summer, I'm going to run around in bare feet. So that was her story, and I think that's a lot of people. They get away from it and yearn to try it again, and that's why we're here. What are your thoughts, Sierra?
Oh, I love the way that she describes pretty much what all kids grew up doing, running around playing outside barefoot, and then that somewhere in that transition to adulthood, you know, with the first pedicure, and I'll admit, I too, on my first pedicure, made the mistake of letting them peel all of my calluses off, and it was the middle of winter, and it was the worst decision I've regarding my feet, except for maybe putting them in shoes. But yeah, it was that catalyst that sent her back into wearing shoes. But it's something I think that all people sort of, as they grow up, they realize, oh, I can't be barefoot all the time, you know. And it's true, you know, as we mature into adults, I'm saying this at the very young age of 24, as we mature into adults, we kind of have to transition from the world of summer vacation and spring break to working full-time 9-to-5 year-round with 2 weeks of vacation every year, if you're lucky. And most jobs are not going to let you go to work barefoot. I've never had a job in an office or anywhere that I've worked outside of my home that allowed me to be barefoot, except for when I was teaching a college class 3 nights a week. I mean, it's not something that you can usually do as a professional. And it's something that we kind of need to reclaim, because it's an important part of being a human being to be connected with the earth. Like Chris was saying earlier, the earth has a spirit and it was created for us to be connected with it. And I mean, regardless of what your religious beliefs are, the scientific backing behind earthing, and there's new studies coming out all the time. There's a new one that we just found this week, but there's all this scientific research into earthing now, where being physically connected skin to dirt is good for your mental and physical well-being. It's really the easiest thing you can do for your health. And so I think the author is onto something when she says that she's going to challenge herself to go barefoot again. Because for most people that have been wearing shoes as adults for their many years of however long they've been an adult, they've conditioned themselves back into a foot phobia, where they're afraid of their feet being dirty or getting hurt or whatever. But you do need to challenge yourself at first. It's even when I decided to make the commitment to be a full-time barefooter, it was a challenge for me. You know, the very first place I went in public barefoot was the post office, and I was terrified of what people were going to say. But you overcome that in time. You do get over that eventually. Or if you're still scared, you can go buy John's flip tops.
Exactly. You're right, though, as far as the phobia that you develop. I think it's very natural. People pretty much play roles in their life. When they hit certain points, they have what they consider the expectations to be. As you mentioned, in a corporate job, you know, having to wear shoes. It's what our society has required. And I think the good news is, you know, there is so much information coming out on the health benefits, and these are not just even small. These are, you know, I remember one of the early ones describing it as the best discovery since penicillin, just grounding, just being barefoot, on what it can do for your health.
Am I still alive with you?
Yeah, you're still on. Did you have a comment you wanted to share?
Well, yeah, you know, it's very important. Some of the things they found that attribute to the lack of having the proper electrical balance in your system that you would obtain from keeping that natural bond with the earth, or grounding, earthing as we call it. Fibromyalgia is one that comes to mind. When the red blood cells coagulate, stick together, and don't have the ability to take on or give off oxygen and carbon dioxide because of the lack of surface exposures that are meant to be by the natural electrical charges of the body to the blood cells that are supposed to keep them separated and absolutely able to perform at maximum efficiency in the exchange of oxygen and CO2 and the removal of contaminants that are in the air that we breathe in or exchange throughout our body's systems.
I love that you bring up fibromyalgia especially. I have fibromyalgia. And my husband can always tell when I haven't been going outside enough, because I start complaining about how much pain I'm in. And he's just, go outside, you'll feel better. And I do, you know, but it's because I'm missing that connection with the earth that's kind of rebooting that system. And it's proven it helps with depression, with anxiety, with not Alzheimer's, what's the other word? arthritis.
Sure.
Arthritis. Actually, I did see a thing that talked about it helping with Alzheimer's, and of course, circulation was in there as well, and actually heart health because of the way the...
An increase in circulation.
Increases, but also changes the molecular structure of the blood as it's going through, so it's not doesn't coagulate as much.
And that's a very interesting observation. The blood itself is a liquid, which is a large percentage. Our bodies are about 80% water. And we know from Dr. Moto's research that the structure of water can be manifestly affected, either positive or negatively, by the sending of love, perception, consideration, and appreciation to the water, or controversial or controverted to that premise, is if we have anger, concern, fear, fantasy envisioned as reality, or other dangerously to our mental health concepts, it can have a deleterious effect on the structure of water, and therefore, I think, likely to relate our blood.
Yes, very much so, I would believe as well. Our mood definitely plays a big part in our health as well. And but then the physical connection with the earth is another aspect that's a big contributor to our health. And I think it also helps in our mood.
Absolutely. We do need to take an ad break, but stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be discussing tweets from the barefoot community this week. So don't go away.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at shadethemotionpicture.com.
Hello, beautiful people. This is Hummin Bird from Hummin Along, sharing inspiring reminders from our guests. Kiki of Off Human Angels pointed out that there is so much more to people than what meets the eye. Our greatest moments of enslavement lead to our greatest freedom, and compassion and empathy are paramount to changing the world. Our dear friend, author, and artist, Corey Holland, reminds us to be in the moment. Don't wait for the next good thing or event in your life. Make this moment the next good thing. Be here now. And Gary Williams of IMBC Global sums it all up perfectly with, all problems can be solved by people and caring for each other. So hum along with us, because we do care about you. We really, really do.
Breeze here for Humming Along on Freedomizer Radio, where we showcase your stories on creating positive change in the world that we live in. Join us for lively discussion and a positive atmosphere as we discuss the issues currently plaguing our society and our individual roles in fixing them. Every Monday through Thursday, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach.
Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, we are back. Sierra, you out there with us?
I sure am.
And we've had Chris with us today. And we have another caller. Let me go ahead and bring them on. Hi, this is John with Barefoot is Legal. Who has joined us?
Hey, I'm a first-time caller.
Hi, Bruce.
Yeah. First time in the last 2 seconds.
Maybe.
No, if I'm home and awake on a Saturday, I like calling in, so.
Absolutely.
I want to support our group. I do have to mention one slight thing, though. And I hate being a nitpicker, especially on air, but I was wanting to talk to you in the chat room. And I was hoping you would share the link about the water or whatever John was talking about. I was trying to find the article, and I couldn't find it. So I was hoping that someone could be in the chat room and share links if possible.
John, can you do that since I'm out in the middle of the woods?
Sure.
Thanks.
I can do that.
I think perhaps if you search out structured water, Dr. Amoto's research and now Dr. Wynn Parker has taken that up since the demise of Dr. Amoto by the edict of Dr. Amoto and his family. He had actually been introduced to him in Japanese when we first started his programs and discovered that they could affect positive change in the structure of water by sending it love, consideration, and appreciation.
So, Chris, obviously I know you're not part of our Society for Barefoot is Legal population here, so to speak, but I just find it hilarious and weird at the same time how some of our group is so against the thought of someone thinking that grounding is real. I just can't fathom that people get offended and they curse others out and they ask for people to be removed because they believe in what they call science.
Well, pseudoscience, perhaps. That's a rather
absurd, what I'm talking about, yeah.
Unsupported, baseless proposition based out of ignorance and incompetence. In fact, if you look at 2 Timothy 2, I think the Creator said something to the effect that because they refuse to believe the truth, I will send them many lies. And therefore, they choose to believe a lie or untruth as opposed to doing any due diligent research, believing myths and stories of others that they tell them, as opposed to learning the actual truth of the matter. And it's undeniable that our bodies are electrical systems, the earth is an electrical system, the sky is an electrical system, and we all have a codependent nexus connection that are mutually interdependent, whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, you've seen many of these flare-ups, and I don't know what to say. I mean, people are actively participating in the community. I'm not going to evict people from the group because they believe something we don't. It's like I'm not going to kick out people for being Buddhist or Hindus or anything like that.
Right, and I know people do have their personal beliefs. I mean, for me, I definitely believe in it. I've seen too many articles from well-known scientists. In fact, I find it kind of odd, actually, when I first learned about grounding. It was when I was preparing for going to the One Spark Festival here in Jacksonville for my flip-tops. I was doing as much research as possible on going barefoot. And to be honest, I put it at the bottom of my list. I really didn't have a lot of faith in it at the time until I started actually reading about it and, you know, reading that this was, you know, Harvard studies and PhDs and quite a substantial community of people that were touting grounding. But I guess it can seem like it's just some mystical thing that if people really don't have the background on that they're not going to believe in.
Right. We do need to cover this week's tweets from the Barefoot community.
You know,
we're just going to start with one. There's
Hold on, Chris wanted to say something. I don't want to run
okay.
over him here. So.
Well, if you got a thought, please finish it.
Okay.
I was only going to point out.
Sorry, I keep talking over everybody.
It's all right. My apologies. We're first time meeting on this call, so it's not without possibility we might overtalk by accident.
And by the way, before he starts talking, I'll just let everybody know Chris is good people. He's my handyman here in Vegas.
I'm handy for quite a few things. Anyway, what I was going to point out is the absurdity of thinking we can walk around with rubber, plastic, perhaps leather-soled shoes, walk on nylon or polyester or other olefin manufactured fibers, carpets with foam underneath it, put plastic tiles on our floors, vinyls, and walk around without any connection, even in our homes for the bulk of the time, because at least if you have concrete that's tied to the land, it has a certain a bit of connectivity to it that transmits a certain amount of electrical energy and contact, at least tacitly, an elemental soap, as opposed to none that you have by insulating your feet and therefore depriving your body of that essential nexus, the connection to the earth that we must have to maintain our proper electrical balance and energy charge so that we are properly functioning electrical systems. If you let your battery grow dry or you don't put distilled water in it or it doesn't have enough acid in it, it ceases to function. So it is with people.
For sure. Thanks for that thought. So every week on the show, we like to read some of the tweets that people in the Barefoot community have shared. I just have one that's really important that we need to read. First of all, there is a kid missing, Sydney Heydrich, 3.5 feet tall, blonde hair, yellowish-orange t-shirt, blue shorts, and he went missing while he was barefoot, which is the only reason I found out about this. Search the hashtag barefoot on Twitter, and he popped up. So if you see a little kid that matches the description, again, blonde hair, wearing a yellow-orange t-shirt, blue shorts, and barefoot, please call 911 so that they can find their kid. His name is Sydney Heydrich. John, I'll let you take it away with the rest of the tweets.
There's a similar story here. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was wondering where he disappeared from. Where did he come up missing?
Let's see if we can find out. It didn't say in the tweet. Just trying to...
I'm looking at it myself. We actually had a very similar story happen in the last 24 hours here in Jacksonville with a 21-month-old child that's only in a diaper. Blue eye, blonde hair that disappeared yesterday. It's been all over the local news.
Sheffield Lake is the city where he went missing. I'm not sure what state that is.
Yeah, but like I said, we also had almost the same story here in Jacksonville. It's been the number one story on the news for the last day.
This is a rather different line of conversation from your barefoot concept, but there is a large amount of disappearing children. I hear music. Well, maybe not. But the abductions of children for trafficking and international sex trade is becoming to be a manifestly huge, systemically dangerous problem in America and the world.
So I was able to find the city. It's Sheffield Lake, Ohio, that that Sydney went missing from. So if you're in that area, Sheffield Lake, Ohio, please keep your eye out for little 4-year-old boy. Well, blonde hair, 3.5 feet tall. And for the kid in Jacksonville that's missing as well. If you're listening from Jacksonville, please keep your eyes out for missing kids.
Speaking of Jacksonville, John, I noticed a few people this week from Jacksonville posting in the SBO.
Yeah, I saw that. That's, we're quite the hub down here. There must be.
But none of us have ever run into each other. I don't get it.
Chris, the
inside joke. You have a barefoot meetup down there.
Is,
we should.
Proof. Sierra and myself have been. I am currently in Jacksonville, and they've been here in the past. So it's become quite.
Yeah, I spent 3 years of my life out in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, there were approximately 3 years that all three of us were there at the same time. Approximately.
Yeah, it's.
We never ran into each other there. Met online.
Yes.
It's a huge city, though.
We were close to each other recently, though. When I went to go visit some friends in St. George, you were in Salt Lake City.
That's like 600 miles apart, though.
Maybe 400.
Maybe. Anyway.
Actually, I take that back. It's probably about a four and a half to five hour drive, just a guess. It could be a little less.
Yeah, it's still pretty far. Not quite the same as all being in the same city.
Correct.
Especially because Proof and I only live like 10 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
When you were in Jax, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy talk. Anyways, on with the tweets.
All right. Let's see what we have here. The next one up, retweeted, Rewire Me. No shoes allowed, explanation point, be barefoot strong. And it says, in a recent interview with Dr. Emily, I'll kill the name.
Spleekle. She's a podiatrist in New York.
Okay. Celebrity prosthetist and author of Every Day Is Your Runway, a shoe lover's guide to healthy feet and leg. I learned something new about our aging process from a unique perspective, and then it says foot function. The one we have up, I don't know exactly what they learned, but that's being Twitter. You get just sound bites sometimes. The next one is from Derek Griffin. Footwear can constrict the structure and function of the foot. Hashtag barefoot protection versus function. Another retweet from Barefoot Michael, waiting to get fillings at the dentist. Oh, goody. That's always a joy. And Sierra, I think you've said you've been to the dentist barefoot. I know I have. I don't know about proof.
I've been 3 times to the dentist barefoot. You know, in my 5 years of, or no, I guess 4 times. In 5 years of going barefoot. I hate the dentist. I try to not go.
Yeah, I don't care.
I think my most hated building of all time is child support court.
Yeah, probably not up there on the list of favorite places for someone to go.
Fortunately, I can't relate to that one, but for the dentist is high on my list. But been a couple of times myself. Okay, let's see. Retweeted Actual Naturals. Fact of the day, explanation point. Scientific studies show walking barefoot on grass actually releases stress and tension in the body. It says, go barefoot to draw vital energy from earth. So it's another one really going into the benefits of earthing. Let's see what we have up here. Retreated bare bottom shoes. My office this morning, and it shows Sue walking out. It looks like on a lake with some rocks out there.
Yeah, she's out like a lakeside cabin in Ontario right now. Oh, there's people barefoot paddleboarding out here. For those who didn't know, I'm on location at Hermitage Park. In the northeast side of Edmonton.
All right.
So there's a rare.
There's some people barefoot stand up paddleboarding. There's two people out on the lake paddleboarding, and there's a guy out kayaking as well. A bunch of people fishing on the side of the lake.
Okay. I think that's, we have a few other things on here. We have this
that's all the
radio.
The tweets we found from this week, unless you count mine where I tweet promoting the show.
Yeah, that's where I was down to at this point. So.
We do have a message from one of our listeners, one of our regular listeners, Kevin. He says, yesterday I went to the beach on base because they had an event. He's in the military. I went barefoot, and as I was walking around, I did see other people, especially kids, walking on the concrete barefoot. Then this thought hit me. Being barefoot at the beach is easier for people because it is a normal place to be barefoot. And when they leave, they put their shoes back on. You will never get strange looks at the beach because everyone else is barefoot. If you can be barefoot at the beach with no problems, then you should be able to go inside a store barefoot, which isn't normal to a lot of people. It seems to me being barefoot is only socially acceptable depending on the setting. Since there are no rules against barefoot at the beach, why make rules requiring shoes inside stores? I think that's a good point. A lot of people say that you can't go barefoot in stores for safety reasons, but you're inside. You know, the dangers of being inside are a lot less than being outside where there's rocks and broken glass and, like, there's all kinds of crap on the beach.
Yeah, it's always struck me as funny.
If I can interject here, there's a restaurant out in San Diego that is consistently voted like the best hamburger place in the United States, and it's on every show on the Food Network. It's called Hodad's, and they even advertise no shirt, no shoes, eat at Hodad's or whatever it is. But you see people in there all the time. Just that they just walk up from the beach and go inside and eat. But what's funny is there's a pizza place literally right next door to Hodad's, and they have the whole health department dog and pony show, which doesn't exist, that says that the health department requires everyone wear shirt and shoes. So it's just funny to me how the health department would look at dough with pepperoni and cheese on it as being not healthy, but a hamburger with some French fries is acceptable. I don't know what kinds of foods are acceptable and what's not for not wearing shoes.
It's just the irony of it. It also strikes me funny to find places at a beach that are so shoe phobic, foot phobic that
there was a place on the beach in Jacksonville that said they had no problem kicking people out, and they said that they would rather close their business than to allow someone without shoes in. And about 6 months later, they got their wish because they closed down.
Good for them. They also at Jack's Beach, some of the outdoor festivals that they have a list of rules a mile long. And the type of festivals where you actually have to pay to get in, they have it roped off.
Right.
It's usually on the sign there that our shoes are required. Not that I've ever paid any attention to that, or I don't think many people have, but it's sitting right on some of those signs for an outdoor event at the beach. Craziness.
Yeah, or it could be at the park where you can go there 7 days a week without shoes on, but the fact that someone's performing music, I guess their drums is going to fall off the stage and land on your foot.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I hate when people throw their oboes into the audience and it just happens to only land on your foot. I'm wondering if, because there could be flying guitars and bass and things like that, everybody should wear helmets.
Well, see, Proof, it's the grounding. It's that magnetic connection that brings it right to your foot. That's why you have to, I guess, cover it.
Oh, okay.
But it is funny, the sarcasm we're using, because it is just so outrageous when you think about it.
Yeah, it's only one part of the body that people are worried about.
And extremely worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll see that change with all the information that's out there and that we're promoting as well. I would like to believe there'll be some changes. There needs to be. Sarah, are you still with us?
She could be.
might have dropped your phone in the lake.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Now we can.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Bad signal out here. Like I said, on location at the lake.
I thought you dropped your phone in the lake for a minute.
Oh, gosh. That would be bad. You'd probably hear some splashing and maybe, like, some fish trying to talk to you. It's a waterproof phone, so.
Oh,
but
that's good, at least.
Yeah, but I was saying I've had lots of people tell me I'm going to get arthritis from being barefoot, which is interesting because arthritis is an autoimmune condition, and going barefoot is proven to help with autoimmune conditions because of the grounding. So I don't know where a lot of people are getting this misinformation from.
Creating it
is what I'm confused about. Yeah. We do need to take another ad break. We do have more awesome topics to cover when we get back, as well as chatting about these crazy ideas that people get in their head that for some reason it's not okay to be barefoot, but it totally is. So stay tuned.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
John, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I apologize. I've been talking to mute very fluently here, so I'm back.
Sorry about the moment of dead air there, folks. We're back.
Yeah.
Fairfoot is Legal Radio. Lots of glitchiness today.
Yeah, that one I caused, though. I'm on my own here. I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm like, where's here? Do we have somebody else on the line? I think we have a caller that's called in.
We had Chris and we had Proof. If there's another one, then possibly.
Proof is still here.
All right. Hello, Proof. All right. I think we've lost Chris, but there's a 641 area code that joined in as well.
Hello.
Hi. This is John from Barefoot is Legal. Who am I speaking with?
This is Joel, the Barefoot is Legal webmaster.
Joel, hey, you made it!
I made it, yes.
Welcome.
For those who don't know...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Proof.
No, I insist. Go ahead.
Okay. For those who don't know, Joel is our awesome barefootislegal.org webmaster. He's the mastermind behind all of it. So if you get a chance, check out barefootislegal.org and look at the amazing work he has done. Also, for those who don't know, Joel is a quadriplegic, which is even more amazing because he's so positive and so upbeat. You can check out his blog, trainmanj.blogspot.com. Is that right?
Correct.
Awesome. How are you today, Joel?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. So I saw on your Facebook that you have, it looks like some sort of like exercise bike that you are also using barefoot. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this exercise bike is made specifically for people like me that have, say, neurological disease or injury to the spinal cord. And this bike gives pulses to muscles in your legs or arms. And in the case of the one I was using, it makes your legs pedal a stationary bicycle, and that way it gives exercise to your muscles, your bones, and has a lot of benefits. And yeah, this week I used it, and as I usually do, I do pretty well everything barefoot. And the physical therapist wasn't real sure about me doing that and cautioned against rubbing and possible problems of not wearing shoes, which it is very good to be cautious.
But what gets me, Joel, is the fact of what is she going to say? You're going to lose the use of your legs if you don't wear shoes?
No, but possible problems can include pressure sores that kind of break through the skin and cause problems that you can end up actually losing a foot.
Mm-hmm.
But I did thank her for being cautious, but I did tell her my feet are very used to being rubbed on, and I knew that the time that I would be on the bike would not be very long, and so she did allow me to skip the footwear.
That's awesome. What a great victory.
Fine. So everything went fine, and I plan on future sessions to stay the same.
Sorry about the background noise. I'm at the lake, and I think I have a fish.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Fish or a frog?
Or a really big pile of weeds. A really big one.
But for me, I figure that this is as close as I'm likely ever going to get to walking, so it's something that my feet can get and not be forced to squish into shoes and be allowed to be bare as they should be.
I think that's awesome.
And Joel, I assume part of that issue is if you don't have the feeling in it, you could be putting additional pressure, correct?
That's correct.
So wouldn't that be true with shoes as well, where they can rub up against
your
skin?
They can, yep. That's one of the reasons I rarely wear them.
Yeah, I would think that would definitely be a concern. Even
we have a lot of people. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say even more so because at least when you're barefoot, you can see if you're doing any damage, I would assume, versus if it's inside the shoe.
Yeah, and that's why I like being able to see what my feet are doing, that I can see if they're rubbing or not, and then I can do something about it. As opposed to if they're in shoes, I can't.
Makes sense. I've noticed there's a lot of people with disabilities. I'm specifically talking about physical disabilities here, although there are people with mental disabilities in the group as well. But there's a lot of people with physical disabilities in the Barefoot is Legal Society for Barefoot Living and other barefoot groups on Facebook. Do you think that going barefoot can maybe help improve your quality of life with a disability?
It can help in some ways. I know we have one member that is visually impaired, and in that situation, as he has said, it can help to feel where there is walking since they can't necessarily see. And for wheelchair users such as myself, it's better in that you know if... say for me, I don't know if, say, footwear is causing problems or pressure points until I take them off. That can be too late at that point. So for my situation, it's better to just stay barefoot as much as possible when weather allows and just keep an eye on what the feet are doing and not to have anything bugging them. I don't have circulation as, say, someone that is walking does, so I have to, unfortunately, don footwear a little bit quicker than some when the weather gets cold, but from about April through November, I can usually get away with it at least.
That's about when I can go barefoot, too. I'm in Canada, so.
Well, I'm in Iowa, so, yep.
I'm just curious
to see what Sierra is going to catch here in a second.
If I can get it in, it's really fighting me.
I did see an article earlier this week that Nike now has specially made shoes for people with disabilities, which I don't agree with.
Yeah, you'd mentioned before, you know, where you can see versus if it's inside the shoe. So to me, unless they designed a shoe with sensors that were going to warn you somehow, I don't know what benefit that would be.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you'd mentioned the circulatory issue with having with cold now. You're not feeling the cold so much, but it's just because of that circulation. You just have to be more careful with it, correct?
Correct.
Do you have any advice for anyone who is wheelchair bound like yourself about taking initiative of being their own advocate for their health, be it going barefoot or other health issues in general?
Anyone like myself, you have to be your own advocate. You are the only one who is always around you to be an advocate for yourself. You might have a caregiver or a parent or some relative that is often with you and helps a lot, but you, the person, are the only one who's always there. So for any health item, be it just foods that you tend to eat that say high protein that help better, or for going barefoot, anything that helps your health and that you have seen by testing or by reading and seeing others experience, that's what you need to advocate for yourself for. There are occasions you may have to get doctors to help back you up in case of nursing and nursing agencies or that kind of thing, but you are your own advocate and it is your body, so it's you, the person that has to know what works and what doesn't.
And Joel, you had mentioned the physical therapist, you know, making a comment about you being barefoot and being concerned about it. Do you run into that a lot?
I really don't very often. My feet generally go just in my bed or on the footrest of my wheelchair. So I don't generally have a problem. I did have it once that I was out getting sun and my footrest got a bit too warm and ended up burning the bottom of my feet mildly.
Okay.
So that is something I know to be careful of now and watch how long they're in the sun. But other than that one time, I haven't had any problems with going without footwear.
Do you think people kind of give you more leeway because you're in a wheelchair than someone who is walking around barefoot?
I think so quite a bit. People that don't know me, I'm guessing, assume that I can't wear shoes for some reason and don't really ever say a word to me. I've had some that have been to places and they've seen me and I've noticed I've been barefoot, and they say, like, oh, I wish I could go barefoot as well, like you. And those are times, well, actually, I would suggest it.
Yeah,
but
you can.
No, I've never had any problems for most people. I have had a few people that know me and know I am able to wear footwear that like to razz me every now and then.
My fish got away.
Darn fish.
Took the bait and ran off with it.
That's all right. There's probably something on your fishing license that says shoes required anyways to fish. So
there's actually not. I checked.
I wouldn't put it. You checked.
Yeah. It just says I have to be a resident of Canada. And I have to carry the license with me while I'm fishing.
Hey, fishing is a good time to be barefoot. If you happen to fall in the water, you don't have footwear to restrict you from swimming.
Exactly. And you don't have to worry about ruining shoes. I know a lot of people who have lost freakishly expensive shoes in river muck.
So if that big fish would have pulled you in, you'd have been set.
Yeah, I would have gotten stuck in the muck still. It's pretty nasty at the bottom of this lake. A couple feet thick of weeds at the bottom. Pretty gross. But Joel, I was wondering if you could tell us some of the places you've been lately where you wouldn't really expect someone to go barefoot, but you've been. I know I saw on your Facebook you went to the Creation Museum. Have you been to any more other exciting places?
I don't get out a whole lot. I primarily live on my computer doing work for clients or taking care of my needs. So the Creation Museum is about the only place I've been lately other than doing this bike ride that we talked about. I generally, I have several activities I do at church and other than the church service itself on Sunday, I generally don't do footwear at any of those meetings either. My parents, whom I live with and rely on a lot of my care, they insist on me doing footwear to church on Sundays, so I comply with their wishes and do then. But Creation Museum is about the only place that I've been, as well as several restaurants in the area of Cincinnati when I was out by the museum. But some of those, I haven't heard from other barefooters if they've had any problems or not. Places like IHOP and some pizza places we went to, and I'm only remembering off the top of my head, but yeah, for the entire trip, I didn't even look at shoes or have them on for our entire excursion, so that was great.
That's awesome. I'm curious, at the Creation Museum, I know we talked about this on Facebook a little bit, but you said you really enjoyed it. I was wondering, could you tell us a little bit about what kind of displays are in there? I've heard that it talks about, like, people and dinosaurs and did they have displays of, like, cavemen wearing shoes? Or, like, how do they depict the ancient people?
Well, they showed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before sin, which is, at that time, they weren't wearing anything.
Right.
So they are depicted in that their top half only is shown, with Eve having strategically long hair, and understandably.
Yeah, of course. Little kids go there.
Yep. Majority of the people that they did show their feet, they were wearing different types of sandals, as is mentioned in the Bible, and different areas of sandals being worn at that time. But that was about it for footwear there. But yeah, the Grace Museum did depict everything as the Bible says, with dinosaurs and people being created on the same day, and the world we live in now being cursed because of sin and having lots of problems, such as thorns and pain and things like disabilities and a lot of the other evils we see going on.
Absolutely. I was curious about that because I went to the Salt Lake City Temple Visitor Center last month. It's the headquarters of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Mormon Church. And in the visitor center, they've got little wax statue, life-size wax statues of all the Old Testament prophets. And, you know, Adam and Eve are there, Moses is there, and they all had shoes on. Like, at what point did they start wearing shoes? I wondered while I was looking at that. But yeah, ancient people depicted with shoes on.
Yeah, say at what point they started wearing footwear, I don't know. Say the only times in the Bible that footwear is really mentioned is a few times where say Moses or Joshua was asked to take off their sandals, but
yeah.
Then
Jesus washed his apostles' feet, he took their sandals off. But yeah.
Correct.
And
not a whole lot of footwear mentioned.
Yeah, and typically, you know, current society creates their own history as well. It's not always an exact depiction of it's more what the expectations are of the current society sometimes.
And possibly maybe when they were translating it, they translated it to their best of their understanding and included shoes in it. Who knows? I certainly wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened.
The Hebrew and Greek of the Bible and Aramaic, I believe, as well, have been translated into many different languages and translated to the current meaning of words, and have a very high degree of accuracy from the old to the new. So I wouldn't question what it actually means. It might have been not sandals as we think of today, and I would, I don't know what type they would wear back then, but...
Probably not Birkenstocks, but...
I would doubt it.
Maybe they had early barefoot sandals.
Who knows? Who knows? There was something else I wanted to ask you, and I totally forgot what it was. Judd, do you have any questions for Joel?
Joel, I remember last time you were on, you had mentioned being on, I believe it was a bus or a train at the time where they told you you had to.
We talked about a rule in Utah where everyone, including wheelchair users, had to wear footwear.
Just an update on that. I did ride on those trains last month with John's flip tops. They did let me get away with that. Those are technically considered shoes. Also on Brigham Young University campus where they require shoes in certain buildings, was able to get away with flip tops. So, for the record, flip tops are considered shoes. In case you're wondering, John.
There you go. That works for me. I was at breakfast this morning and the waitress actually said, let me see your shoes because I've been in there before or whatever. She said, those are so cool. And here we're in, I mean, there must have been 40 people in this place. And I go there every week and never had a problem from them or another customer.
That's awesome. So
I guess it works.
Yeah. Well, when I was approached when I was on the university campus and asked to put shoes on by the building coordinator, who also happens to be my best friend, so she was maybe more lenient with me. I asked her, what is the building's definition of shoes? And she said, something that covers your foot, preferably covering the bottom. But preferably, meaning optionally.
Mm-hmm.
So flip tops were okay. So any BYU students who are listening, go buy his flip tops if you want to be barefoot. They'll let you do it.
Hey, by the way, you might see a Philadelphia phone number on the call screening. One of our good friends and my Thursday co-host wants to call in. Her name's Tara.
Okay. Well, we've only got a few minutes left in the show, but if she gets in those next few minutes, we'd love to chat with her.
Is that the 661?
I don't have the switchboard up. It could be. Yeah, that's a Skype number. Yeah.
All right.
You can hop on into the screening room, John, and then I'll quickly discuss an article if you want to.
Actually, I just brought her on since we're running out of time. Hi, this is
Hello, welcome to the air.
Oh, thank you.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I was just listening in, and I was just wanting to comment. I heard y'all talking about going barefoot and going into stores. I had ran a store for a number of years. And I'm all pro barefoot. I mean, I go barefoot throughout my house. I haven't yet gone barefoot as much as you guys have, but I believe in it and I believe in the health benefits. However, the store that I ran for a number of years, they had really strict guidelines about, you know, the employees and the shoe, you know, I had to wear shoes. And so, my thing was, is I guess I also assumed that a person had to wear shoes because we had to, and it was for safety reasons, at least for us. If we had freight being brought in, you know, we of course couldn't go without shoes due to if something dropped on us. Well, it was a liability for the company. But then, you know, I guess the mindset is that it transfers over onto the customers. And I don't ever remember reading that anywhere, but it was just assumed.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Sierra.
Well, I've worked in restaurant industry for years, and most restaurants require closed-toed shoes with non-slip soles because of the risk of slipping and becoming injured, oil, water everywhere. But nowhere in any of the restaurants I've worked in, at least, I mean, I know some require dress codes for patrons, but none of the restaurants I worked in ever said anything about customers. And when I came in as a customer to the restaurant I worked in, they didn't care if I was barefoot in the dining room, as long as I didn't walk back in the kitchen barefoot. And they right. did let me get away with barefoot sandals when I was there for meetings as part of the management team. So, you know, walking through the dining room in barefoot sandals while on the clock, because it wasn't anything, you know, mandated by health code. I mean, the servers wear these, like, crazy high heels, which are definitely not kitchen safe, and that's okay. So I guess, you know, as long as there's not any actual danger involved with it, there's no health code restrictions about it. But like you were saying, where you're unloading freight, you need to be wearing shoes in case something falls on you. There have been studies showing that shoes don't actually protect you much unless they're steel-toed boots. But, I mean, it's,
right.
I think it's not that much of a logical step to assume that because there are safety issues for your employees, there may be safety issues for your customers. But that's where it comes into play, where ensuring that your store is safe for your customers, no matter what kind of shoes they're wearing, because people come in there wearing flip-flops, which are not much protection at all.
Right, and there's also no laws for health code or insurance or OSHA or anything like that for people standing behind a counter or you trying to show someone what the latest electronic gadgets are, so to speak. Or if you're working for AT&T behind a desk, there's no insurance codes or anything like that for walking five steps and showing someone the latest iPhone 6 or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And there's always this focus on feet for injuring yourself. I mean, I don't know if anyone that has not cut their hands at some point in their life in some way or another.
Right, because you could slam your hand in a glass cabinet. Why are they not mandating steel-toed or steel-fingered gloves?
Cut-proof gloves or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And bottom line.
What I like to say also when I've had to argue in a grocery store before is there's pinatas on the very top shelf. What if one falls on my head? Should I be required to wear a helmet? You're not wearing a helmet. What if this falls on your head? And then they tell me, don't be crazy. It's only one part of the body that people get so worried about for lawsuits. It's hilarious.
Well, and what also gets me is how small the percentage of your body are your feet. They're less than 10% of your overall body, and that's what people are choosing to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
not only that,
you know,
Sierra and John, but I'm sure in a retail setting, there's two or three employees. I'm certain during the 20 or 30 years that building was open, that one of their employees' shoes hurt so much that they were thrown off to the side for the rest of the shift.
Actually, I've worked in retail, and I've never actually seen that. I'm sure it has happened,
mm-hmm.
but typically in that case, they would probably just change shoes, because there for a lot of retail places, there are actually fire codes in place about what types of shoes can be worn.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't specifically say that you can't be barefoot.
I tend to disagree with that one.
Well, I won't argue the logic behind it, but I've worked in places where the fire codes of the buildings required everyone to be wearing shoes that did not have, basically not flip-flops. Any other shoe is okay,
yeah,
but not flip-flops.
It's only a fire issue if the employees are not wearing them, but the customers can.
Well, this was a call center, so there weren't customers.
Well, I would want to see that in writing, because I've called various fire departments, and like when I opened up my comedy club, OSHA told me to call the fire department to see if there was fire codes, and they laughed at me and said they've never heard of such a thing. And then they told me to call the health department, which I already called them first.
Well, we are running out of time.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we are.
So we need to wrap up.
Thanks for checking out the show.
Okay.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who listened in and called in. Thank you, Joel, for joining us. We always love having you on the show. You're doing a great job with the website.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, earlier on for joining us.
Next week we'll have more tweets and articles and hopefully more guests. So tune in.
Thank you, and until next week, stay there and enjoy.
Hey,
right, talk to you next week.
Minister Emanuel's coming up next, so refresh your screen in about 90 seconds.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're just going to get us again, and I know you love us, but give the other guys a chance, too.
And Sarah, good luck next
right.
week. Catch your fish.
Thanks. Listeners,
right.
we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.